You know, as we think about hope, it's so important that this presentation is made. It's so important to understand the impact that God is making. And you did not hear Jim say that we're making that impact. But the impact that's being made is the impact that the Bible promises, because you and I know that Jesus is the only hope. And one of the ways that we demonstrate that He's the hope of the world, and we believe that, one of the ways is through the faithfulness of our giving. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 16, it says this: "Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me." Very simply, remember, basically the first church is the Jerusalem church. And the church found itself in great need for two reasons. One, there was a famine in Jerusalem. And second, there was a persecution in Jerusalem, and the believers were under attack. The believers were not able to be employed. And this collection is being taken to help fund the church in Jerusalem so that they can continue, really, I say the worldwide, what they knew of the world in that time, a worldwide ministry of impact. And it was very important what was being done. And Paul, who tells us over and over, and I'm going to read something out of Timothy, that he says we need to put our hope in God. He's all that we have. Jesus is all that we have. I want to tell you about a good friend of mine. His name is Christy Kivu. And I can't remember the exact date. Christy's from Romania. And on Christmas Day, and I believe it was in 1989, a group of Romanian college students had decided to have a protest against the government. Many of them were Christian students who in 1989, if you can believe this, 1989, were not allowed to gather for worship. They were not allowed to publicly express their Christian faith. And so a group of these college students were going to gather together in the main part of town. If you remember, the dictator in that moment of time was Ceausescu. And they were going to gather and protest. Christy's parents begged him not to go. They said, "Christy, we don't want you to go. It's going to be dangerous." And Christy was a college student. He said, I must go. I've got to go. Christy's grandfather was basically kind of an underground pastor, if you will. And the day before the protest, his grandfather came to his home. He said, "Christy, I want you to come with me." And he took Christy to another town, to his farm, and just pleaded with him not to go, and he convinced Christy not to go. And some of you may know that on Christmas Day in 1989 was one of the worst massacres that Ceausescu had ordered out, and every one of those college students were killed right in the streets. I met some people who were there, and they said that in the gutters on the sides of the streets in the main part of town, blood flowed that day. And every one of those college students, their lives were taken. What's interesting is that Romania is not the same today. Obviously, one was the fall of the communist government. But another reason why Romania is not the same is because of a young man who'd given his life to Jesus and said that he would serve in whatever way that God wanted him to serve. And that young man was Christy Kivu. And God raised him up. Christy came to America for a while to go to seminary, and I had the privilege of serving together with Christy on a staff. And Christy believed that the only hope for Romania was Jesus Christ. His hope wasn't in the fall of the communist government, and that greatly benefited the Christian churches. But Christy believed the only hope for Romania was Jesus Christ. And so Christy, as I served with him, you could tell every day there was such a longing in his heart to go back to his people and to share with them the love of God. And I want you to know, if you go to Romania today, it's not the same. And it's not the same because of the hope of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, really, God raised up Christy Kivu. I believe God protected him from that day. And he sent his grandfather. And his grandfather continued to share with Christy the hope that we have. You know, I want to tell you, and I really want you to hear this. That's why we give. I mean, some of you are here, and you've been faithful givers. And if you were honest, it's been hard to be a faithful giver. Because when you're a faithful giver, you just don't give when you've got something extra. You give because you believe that that's what you're called to do. And this tonight's sermon is not a guilt trip on why you should give. But you know what? If you are giving, I want you to know. And I think Jim has just so eloquently laid it out for us tonight. That your giving is not in vain. That God is using it. Already, over 600 people have come to know Jesus in Costa Rica. That was a good place for an applause. And I want you to know, the week after the mission team came back, Pastor Robinson called and they baptized 24 people that next Sunday. Amen. And I want you to know, I don't want you to feel like that's something, oh, our pastoral staff's doing a great job, or the people that work at Hillview, they're doing a great job. You know what? We couldn't make that happen. You know who God used to make that happen? You. Every one of you had a hand in those 600 people coming to Jesus. Every one of you had a hand in those 24 baptisms. And I want you to know, the heartbeat from your staff and the leadership of this church is we believe that that doesn't begin to scratch the surface of what God wants to do in Costa Rica. You see, now, because of the faithfulness of your giving, as Jim shared, there is a church in Costa Rica, and the name of that church is Bread for Everyone. Bread for Everyone. And what that means there's bread for everyone. For everyone. And everybody who's been told that they don't deserve bread, or they shouldn't get bread, or they can't have bread with certain people, there is now a church there that says, we have bread for anybody. When we were in Romania, there was a great racial situation that goes on, and there's a group of people, and they're called the Gypsies. And one of the things I loved, one of the churches that we planted in Romania, it was a Gypsy church. And that really upset a lot of the Christians in Romania. They were very upset. Well, those Gypsies, well, they're this, and they're this, and they're this. And they were saying, there's no hope for the Gypsies. But we don't believe that. You see, Paul took up a collection. You know why? Because he believed there was hope for everyone. For everyone. But you see, there's one key ingredient that has to happen. And God has set it up this way. Because you probably, like me, believe that all God has to do is snap his fingers and he could drop hope on the entire world and they would have it right there. But you know, God hasn't done it that way. I don't know why. And I'm not going to say God could have done it a better way. But we just have to deal with the facts. The fact is, God has done it a certain way. And God has said, if my people will be faithful, faithful in giving, faithful in going, faithful in accepting, then my hope will spread to the ends of the world. But here's what God has done. Through a relationship with Jesus, you and I have hope in us. And now Jesus tells us to go and share that hope with the world. And I'll tell you this, you may think I'm biased, but I am proud in a good way to be part of a church that doesn't just believe Jesus is the hope of the world, but we're willing to go and be the hope that God has called us to be. And so you know why this excites me? This means if you have put money in those offering bags, if you have done that, that means tomorrow when you go to work or wherever you go, you can tell people, basically, you can tell people, yeah, I planted a church in Costa Rica. I was able to see 600 people come to Jesus. I was able to see 24 people baptized. I was able to change the oil in about 600 single moms' cars. And they're going to say, well, you've been busy. But I want you to know that is how your staff and the leadership of this church feels about your giving. Because if you weren't faithful in that way that God has called you to be faithful, we wouldn't be able to change oil. We wouldn't be able to have a church in Costa Rica. And I really want you to hear that. I really want you to hear that. That your hand is in every bit of that as you give faithfully. And as you serve faithfully. And just as God raised Christy Kivu up and spared his life so that he would be faithful with the gifts that God has given him, Romania has never been the same. And I just believe with all my heart, as all our staff and leadership do, I believe Costa Rica will never be the same. Because I want you to know, since Costa Rica has existed, there are people in Costa Rica that have been told all their lives, you're nothing. You are nothing. You don't deserve anything. And you know what's beginning to happen in a very small part of Costa Rica? People are hearing that there is hope for them. That there is hope for them. And guess what's right in the middle of that little region? A little church called Bread for Everyone. Jesus is the hope of the world. And he's called us to be that hope to the world. And I want to encourage you. Paul was writing to young Timothy, and he said this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. I want to ask you a question. This will be very interactive. Has anybody been generous to you? I'll tell you what, let's raise our hands. Has anybody been generous to you? My hand's up more than once. Has anybody shared with you? You know what's so fun? If you've ever had an opportunity just to help somebody, and they were so grateful, and yet it was so humbling. Because there's been times in my life when I've been helped, and it's very, very humbling. You know what we love to say to people who are being helped? One day, you're going to be in a place where you can help. Remember that. Remember that. Paul said to Timothy, be rich in good deeds. Share. Be generous. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Did you hear that? Now that's really good. I'm going to read that again. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Now, why would he say it like that? Take hold of the life that is truly life. Why? Because the world advertises a certain kind of life, but it is empty. And there is no hope in that. And he says to Timothy, so take hold of the life that is truly life. And what is that life? To be rich in good deeds. It's Jesus. To be rich in good deeds. To be generous. And to share. And to be faithful. And for every day, for us to have thankful hearts. Because right here, maybe some of you, this is your story. Right here in Bowling Green are people who've been told all their lives that there is no hope for them. But you and I know that's a lie. That's a lie. Sometimes when me and my wife, we'll get into an argument, like once every 10 years or something. But when that happens, you know, I'm the emotional one in my house. And I'll get upset or angry and I'll say something. And you know what she says to me? I'm not listening to that. She says, I'm going to listen to the voice of truth. Now that is a word. I mean for you, that I'm sharing this with you. The voice of truth. Because a voice of truth tells me that there is hope for me. And the voice of truth tells me that all those negative things, that is not true. That is not who I am. But the voice of truth says that there was a cross and a resurrection so that you and I could have hope. And it's not because we're special, because guess what? With Jesus, there's hope for anyone. But you and I are givers, sharers of that hope. And that's the good news of the gospel. We need a Savior, and there is one who is able, who is willing, and who is faithful. There is hope. There is hope. So I challenge you tonight. I think Jim has challenged us tonight to take hold of the life that is truly life. I'll give you a challenge, because no doubt, some of us sitting here, and as soon as you heard it was the budget presentation, you immediately felt a little guilt. You'd never given. Now, I had a friend who, he's a pastor, and I didn't necessarily agree with the way he did his budget presentation and his vote. And when he was a new pastor, they were going to be having a meeting about the budget, and all these church members kept saying, now, we haven't heard about this meeting. When's this meeting going to be? He goes, you'll probably hear about it. Don't worry about it. So they had this budget meeting. Wasn't a whole lot of people there. They went over the budget. They approved it. Well, the next Sunday, there was a bunch of mad people. And they said, you had a budget meeting and you didn't invite us. You had some kind of secret meeting. The pastor said, I'm going to tell everybody what happened. Don't be alarmed. I'll explain it. And the pastor gets up and he says, now here's what we did. We went over our budget presentation and it was very important. Matter of fact, it was so important to us. We felt like the only people who should have a voice in the budget presentation were the people that give. So if you got a letter and were invited to the meeting, it's because you gave. And if you didn't get a letter and you weren't invited to the meeting, you know what's amazing? None of those mad people approached him after the service. I guess for fear of incrimination. I want to share with you. We certainly don't feel that way here. We do not feel that way here. You've heard us say over and over, the pastors here, we don't know who gives, and we don't know who gives what. And you know what? We are too human to know that information. We are too human. You wouldn't want us to know that information. So here's the good news. I don't know who gives and who doesn't. But we're a church like most churches. That means there are people that give and there are people that don't. I want to give you an encouragement. If you're somebody who hasn't given, for whatever reason, I want to give you this encouragement and this truth. Remember the voice of truth? You got to hear the voice of truth. So I'm not going to say anything to guilt you into becoming a giver. You know why? God won't even accept that offering if you give out of guilt. That's not why God says to give. But here's my challenge to you. Maybe for 2008, I challenge you, I dare you, to try to outgive God. Just try it. Don't tell them it's not going to happen. They'll have to find that out. I want to challenge you because God has been so faithful. He has been so faithful. And for us, the dollars and all that stuff, that's a way that all of us can understand that. But what that translates to is hope for the world. Hope for Romania. Hope for Costa Rica. Hope for Bowling Green. For Rich Pond. For Smith's Grove. For Nashville. For Ashland. For Indiana. For just on and on and on. And here's what I believe. And I want you to hear this. There's a little church in Frankfurt, and I'll close with this, Keith, if you guys want to come. There's a little church in Frankfurt. They run about 500 in worship. And that church has been so committed to the country of Romania. They've planted about 30 churches in Romania, a church of 500 people. And the pastor had a vision that there should be hope for every person in Romania. And since we believe there already is, we must go and share with them the hope that's there. And this little church in Frankfort, Kentucky, has planted over 30 churches. They support over 30 pastors and their families. And they do that faithfully year after year after year. And every year they plant new churches. And every year they take 5 or 6 trips to Romania. I got to go on 3 of those trips. And I have literally seen in those 3 years of going to Romania that each year it was different. Each year God was doing amazing things, and that country's never going to be the same because of 500 people in Frankfurt being faithful. And so when I had the opportunity to come to this church and to be on staff, I was so excited. Because I believe if a church of 500 people in Frankfurt can change a country, then a church of 4,000 to 6,000 in Bowling Green could change the world. Now, I don't say that flippantly. I believe that. The numbers don't matter. Okay? The numbers are irrelevant. Because what's measured is not the number of people, but what God measures is faithfulness. So we're going to come to a time of altar. And we need to be the hope of the world because of Jesus. You see, there's already been a cross and a resurrection. If there hadn't been that, then just forget all of this. But there's been a cross and there's been a resurrection. And there's been hope birthed all over the world. And there's been just common, ordinary people like me and like you who God has raised up and taken them around the globe so that people will come to know Jesus. I think of 17 years ago, there was this crazy young pastor that basically most people said, you shouldn't be a pastor. I'm talking about Pastor Steve. And then when he talked about coming to Hillview, you know what people told him? Oh, don't go to Hillview. Don't waste your time there. And look what God has done. But please hear me, church. Please hear this, because I believe this. What we have seen, while incredible, while phenomenal, while for many unimaginable, is just the very, very tip of what God wants to do. And you might say, so when's God going to do it? He'll continue to do it as we are faithful. And that's how God set it up. That's how God set it up. If my people will be faithful, if my people will really trust me, if my people will put their hope in me, then I will do more than you could ever possibly ask or imagine. We have a time of altar. I want this to be an altar of hope. Maybe you're going to come and pray for somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe you're going to come and pray for Costa Rica. Maybe you're going to pray for Pastor Robinson. Maybe you're going to come and pray for your staff. Lord knows we need it. And we're going to pray that we would just continue to be faithful and really be even more faithful than we've been. And then the best news of all, there's probably some of you here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Please hear this if you haven't already. He's the only hope that you have. He's the only hope that you have. And with Jesus, there is bread for everyone. There is hope for everyone. So no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what all your history is, there is hope for you. By inviting Jesus to come into your life, asking Him to forgive you of your sin. And guess what, church? He will forgive you. He'll forgive you. And I know that. I don't think that. I didn't just read that. I know that because He's forgiven me. And He will do that. Some of you, we can talk about baptisms. Baptism is very important to us here. You know why? Because we're trying to be like Jesus. If you're a believer, you're trying to be like Jesus. And guess what? He got baptized. So I guess it's really important. And Jesus didn't get baptized so He could go to heaven. Everybody with me? Everybody with me? I think He was headed there without the baptism. He got baptized to the glory of His Father, in obedience to His Father. That's why we do that. So some of you might say, but I'm not ready to get baptized. And I'll say, do you have Jesus in your heart? And you'd say yes. And I'd say, not only are you ready, you're required to. So if you haven't done that, I invite you to come and say, you know what? I've been putting this off long enough. It's time. Some of you are waiting until you understand everything. I've got several degrees from seminary. I don't understand everything. All right, you're not going to get there where you understand everything. You know why? Because God is leaving some things a mystery so that we'll struggle in our faith, so that we'll continue to seek and to search and to look in His Word for who He is, the only hope that we have. Jesus, we come to You. And Jesus, I thank You. I thank You for the faithfulness that's been demonstrated through this season of our ministry here. But God, I pray You would take us to a whole new level of faithfulness. As we trust You, as we don't put our faith in our wealth or the things we have, our skills or our abilities, we put our hope in You completely. And Jesus, we pray for Costa Rica, that it will never be the same. We pray for Costa Rica, for people in Costa Rica who all their lives have been told there's no hope for them. Oh God, that they would hear the voice of truth.
that you loved them, that you gave yourself for them. And we pray the same thing here for people who all their lives have been told there's no hope for them. Oh, that you would be their hope. And you use our faithfulness to go and to share and to be generous and to be kind. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. And thank you for the hope and the love that we have through you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand. This altar is open. Please come.